And on this week on Daybreak, we're going to be taking a look at the issues behind the dispute in that teacher's job action and the government lockouts and everything else going along with it. While the teacher's strike and bargaining goes on, the core issues remain the same. Class size, composition, and pay are all on the table. Our first look this week behind the picket line is at class composition. David Berliner is a professor emeritus at Arizona State University. He's also an educational researcher, and he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, how important is class composition in getting good results for students in school?
Well, it's actually crucial. Many parents seek better schools for their kids, but what they're usually asking for is better peer groups. Kids who are from middle-class families and heading for college, and your family is less than that in income, and you put your kid in with those, that group of kid, that composition, and lo and behold, your kid starts doing better in school and heading for college. The peer group is a very important consideration, and at least in the U.S., we kind of ghettoize our kids, so the lower class goes to school with lower class kids, and the middle class go with middle class kids, and the norms of the school and the classroom develop, and they're quite significant in their influence on kids.
Well, and that's part of the issue here in British Columbia, is there's a lot of discussion about funding going towards private schools as opposed to the public school system, and some fear that those who can afford it will just start going to private school, and that the public school system will continue to be hurt by this. What do you make of that argument?
Well, the argument is, in a way, true. If you pull kids out of the public schools, they don't get as much money, and then the schools have a spiral. They go down a little bit. But the recent book put out by the University of Chicago Press by the authors Lubienski and Lubienski makes it absolutely clear that kids in public schools do better than kids in private schools, as long as the social classes are equal. So if you're in a good middle-class school, your kids are likely to do just as well or better than kids in the private schools in that neighborhood or in that community. The evidence is overwhelming that it's the social class of the parents and the neighborhoods you come from that make a difference in how you achieve. Poverty really hurts people.
In some ways, it seems to go counter to what you'd like to hear, or at least what people who believe in some sort of public good would like to hear, the notion of, well, if you can afford it, get away from the poor kids.
Well, I mean, there is a little bit of truth to that. But the fact of the matter is, if those parents would go to the public schools, save their money, and participate in the life of those schools would get better. Those are the parents that could exert the influence for better coursework, higher, more rigor, more college-bound work, and they can improve their public schools. When they start abandoning their public schools, they're really saying, the heck with the lower classes, I'm going to just get what I can afford for my kid. And that's a mistake for a democracy like yours.
Is it a mistake, though, for the kids themselves, I suppose? Is it worth sacrificing your own children's needs or going to maybe not the best situation for the sake of public good?
Well, I don't criticize any parent for wanting the best schools for their kids, but I'm trying to point out to you that you can have really good schools if you participate in the life of the schools. You can save yourselves $10,000 or more a year for the private schools by putting your kid in the public school and participating in the life of that school, observing, talking to the principals, talking to the teachers, and putting your efforts into making your public schools wonderful.
Now, another part of this is not just class. There's also many children with special needs. In January, 16,000 BC classes had four more special needs kids in them. How can that impact the learning outcomes for the other students?
Well, if you put a lot of special needs kids into classes without aids for the teacher to help, you're hurting everybody, or it's possible to hurt everybody. Some teachers can do it, but most can't, depending on the severity of the problems. If you have severe autistic kids, if you have a Down syndrome kid that's got severe problems, this takes away from everybody's learning time if the teacher's going to try to handle all that. But the problem is easily solved with school aides. Many parents in the community look for work like that and can help with those kids and help the teacher out, and the rest of the class not only won't suffer under those circumstances, but the rest of the class will get a taste of what it's like to live in a world where people have handicaps and have problems and learn how to help them. So it's not a bad thing to have these kids integrated into school. They generally do better. They're not institutionalized, which costs a fortune for parents and communities. It's actually a very cheap form of taking care of children who have special needs and helping people learn how to live in a community with others who are different from they are. But it's very hard to have four of those in a classroom without help. It just takes away from everybody's learning.
What level of help is needed? Let's say you have a classroom with four children with special needs.
Well, it's hard to say. It depends on the severity of the problems that they have. So there's no easy answer to that one. But hiring aides who are trained or get training to help, to do some tutoring, to work one-on-one with those kids while the teacher's busy with others, that makes a big difference in the life of the classroom. It's not any different than having two or three extra English language learners in a community with a lot of migrants. It takes away time from everybody else, but it's time that needs to be spent with those kids. So if you can help teachers, it's just a blessing for everybody.
Now, a number of parents feel caught in between this dispute between teachers and the government. When it comes to what you've heard about class composition, what message do you feel like parents should send to both sides involved if they want what's best for the school system?
Well, let's raise the argument a little. What's best for a democracy? Getting along with people of all social classes, of all racial kinds, all ethnicities, and all kinds of handicaps. They're part of the human condition. What you really want is a democratic classroom, and if that takes away from some of the learning because you have too many kids with special problems, English language learners, kids who have handicaps of various sorts, then you have to give teachers some aids. That's not a very expensive addition to a school budget, that's what you want for a democratic society. The last thing you want for a democratic society is pulling kids out and having special schools for this nationality or that religious group or that social class group. You got to also keep in mind that to hold your democracy together, you need to work with all kinds of people, and public schools are a great way to do that if they're given the resources to do that.
David Berliner, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Sure. Nice talking to you.
I appreciate it. David Berliner is an educational researcher and professor emeritus at Arizona State University. Tomorrow, we will continue our look at the issues behind this dispute. We'll talk to a UBC professor about the importance of class size on educational outcomes for kids.